Hey, I'm gonna I'm actually gonna use this thing. It's not my style, but I feel like I want to release this. I know it's from the Quran. No, I'm just kidding. No, but I have this this declaration that I would encourage you. Listen, do you ever craft a prayer? So what you do is you start taking these things, these promises that God gives you, and you build this little declaration. I call it my prophetic declaration. So every year, I get with the Holy Spirit, like in the fourth quarter, and I'm like, all right, what are we doing this year? Because I want to know where we're going, right? That's like when your kids, where are we going? Where are we going? Where are we going, right? I want to know, where are we going, Dad? You know what I mean? And so he doesn't ever, by the way, he doesn't say, oh, we're going to go this way and this way and this way and this way and this. He just says, this is the way, walking it. And they're like, okay, I guess. But I get with him and I craft a prayer. But one of the things that I did is this. So I love, so generosity is the nature of the Father. And I always say we don't give to receive, although that does happen in the kingdom. We give to become. See, when you give, you become like the Father, right? And then all of a sudden, it starts working because I'm living life the way the Father lives, so suddenly my life looks like His, right? So, but I crafted this declaration over my finances and my giving, and I just want to release this over you guys, okay? So, like, assume the position, right? If you need a financial breakthrough tonight, I want you actually just to lift your hand. We're going to do some just family time. Look at that. We got a lot of hands, okay? All right, let's go. Listen, if you don't have a helicopter pad in your backyard, put your hands up. Today, as we have returned your tithe, so you return the tithe because it's already God's, right? We return your tithe and given our offerings with humility and gratitude to you, the giver of life, the creator of all, the source of goodness. We partner in obedience and faith with you. It shall come back to us, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, overflowing, multiplied. There it is again, multiplication, abundance. Our finances, get this into your spirit. By the way, if you agree with what I'm saying, you can go, amen, something like that, all right? That means, yeah, I'm in, right? Our finances are sacred, holy, and covered by your love, your blood, your covenant, your word, and your promises. Now, I love this part. Get this into your spirit. No demon in hell, no scheme of man, no accident or circumstance shall be able to dispossess us of your promise. So as one, this is the power of agreement. This is the power of alignment, right? As one, we call in jobs. We call in contracts. We call in divine appointments. We call in heaven's ideas. Order our steps. The money that you have entrusted us to steward is a resource to equip and establish the kingdom of heaven on earth. I love this part. To do justice, to liberate the oppressed, to elevate the impoverished, to restore the broken. So we say as one, kingdom come, will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. All right. Lord, I just speak over your people. Lord, I just speak abundance and prosperity over your people. I just break off any baggage they have over that. Nobody here got a private jet anyway. Just get over it. I just speak abundance over your people, Father, that all of the works of their hands should be blessed, Lord. I speak the covenant of Deuteronomy 28 over your body this morning. Jesus, it's your blood that paved the way, and we're grafted into the same covenant. That's Galatians 4 right there. Just look it up. Lord, we are receivers and heirs of the covenant, and we're co-heirs with you, Jesus. So this morning, whatever you paid for, Jesus, I just speak over your people that they would receive it in the name of Jesus. Lord, whatever is between them and your blessing, Father, I bind and I break. I thank you. You already supply all of our needs, Lord. But it's not just about that, Lord. It's about blessed to be a blessing. So I speak over them this morning. I just speak even now that there would just like we've already prophesied, I declare and I decree, that's Job, by the way, you shall decree a thing. I decree that there are going to be crazy, miraculous stories of open doors, of favor, of wisdom. Father, I just speak it over your people right now, and I thank you. There is a lifting. There is a rising in this house. The risers are rising. Come on, that'll work. There's a rising in this house. You're elevating, Lord. I just speak it over this body corporately. Lord, there's been a season of hiddenness, and that's been good for this house. There's been a season in this house where you have kept. It's like the story of Moses. And when the child, I speak this over this house in the name of Jesus, when the child could no longer be hidden, he was revealed. Lord, there is a revealing coming to this body, this ecclesia, in the name of Jesus this year. It's going to fall on individuals, and it's going to be a corporate breakthrough. Lord, whatever's between us and your goodness, we bind and we break and we cast down this morning. Tonight, you've given us the power to bind and you've given us the power to loose. And this evening, Lord, I just loose abundance over your people. I loose the blessing of heaven, the blessing of Abraham in the name of Jesus. If you receive it, just say amen. Amen. Slap your neighbor and say, get some. There you go. I just want to do some, like, man, I feel like I'm home here with you guys. Like, I just want to have some family time tonight. You cool with that? So can I do this? Listen, does anyone have, like, a question about, like, some of the stuff that I was breaking out into this morning? And it's okay if you don't, but don't be shy and make it really awkward and stuff. So, anybody just want to pop off? You don't have to raise your hand or anything like that. We're not in class, but questions about this morning, the teaching. It's all good if you're like, no, man, we already knew that stuff, Johnny. So, okay. What I feel like I want to start to speak into tonight, and again, I think there's going to be some times where we're going to step into just kind of like what we just did, whatever the Holy Spirit wants to do. When I start hearing people's stomachs growling real loud or when I start seeing a lot of iPhone time, then I'll know, like, we're getting close to landing the plane, right? So I felt like this earlier today. How many of you, and I know that some of you, I could just lay it on you and be like, ba-ba-bam, ba-bam, ba-bam, but how many of you in this room, you know that you have a calling to some type of ministry? Would you just actually stand up? Some of you that are supposed to be standing aren't standing yet, by the way. Okay. So here's what I want to say. Look around you. What's the Holy Spirit doing in this house? By the way, I know at least two of you on this front row that aren't standing that should be. What's the Lord doing in this house? Isn't it unique? I just said if you feel a call to be doing some type of ministry, stand up. And most of you are standing, right? First of all, it was a trick question because you're all called to ministry. Gotcha, right? So there you go. You should. But listen, I want to tell you this. God is not a waster and he's not a teaser. If he put a desire in your heart, like I said this morning, desire of the Father, you need to know that it's God's heart. And so here's the job. When you come into this house, right, the job of the leadership, they're going to begin to groom you and equip you because we know that there's a mandate on this house to multiply, right? That's not every church. That's just this church. That's part of Kings. That's part of the DNA, right? How many we got to hit? 1,200, right? So, like, do the math, man. That's a lot. And I know that, here's what I know. God is looking for expressions of his kingdom. Everyone looks unique, but there's the same DNA of heaven in there. So I just want to speak over you guys that are standing. If you sat down, it's okay. You already gave the Holy Spirit your yes. Lord, you see these desires of these hearts. I know maybe we're all not fully baked. Maybe we're still in the oven, right? We're in that season where we're in the Joseph moment. Maybe we got the dream. Maybe we're in the pit. Maybe we're in Potiphar's house. Maybe we're in the prison. But all the way through, there's a preparation that's occurring. So I just speak over these people that are standing here. And Lord, tonight, I just begin to just speak acceleration over them. Lord, that which has been held back, I break in the name of Jesus. I just speak a divine acceleration, Lord. Sometimes it's things we got to deal with too, guys, by the way. Sometimes there's disobedience and rebellion in our heart. Lord, if it's there since they're standing, just knock it out of them. Like, they gave you their yes, just get it out quick, Lord. By the way, if you're going to fall down the stairs, do it fast, right? Don't do it slow. Don't be like, ba-doom, ba-doom, Just go to the bottom. Surrender and get it over with. Lord, I just speak right now an acceleration over these people. Holy Spirit, I pray for fresh impartation, fresh touch, fresh filling, Lord. Without you, what are we doing here, man? It's just silliness. We don't want a form without the power, Lord. We want your power flowing through us, Lord. So I just speak over them, and I just ask, Lord, that even as they come under the leadership here, Father, and as they begin to serve, Lord, that you would begin to lift them up. The fastest way to the palace is with the servant's robe. The fastest way to the king's presence is with the servant's robe. So I just speak, Lord, even as they serve and as they come under the leadership, Lord, that you would accelerate and that you would open doors and you would begin to elevate them, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, we're not looking for copycat clones. Lord, we're looking for unique expressions of who you made them to be. So I speak it over them, Lord. Let every desire of their heart be fulfilled in the name of Jesus, because you need laborers and they're here. So, Lord, we ask you to thrust them out into the harvest field in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, you can grab a seat. It was a trick question. Everybody's in ministry, right? It's crazy, man. You got a family? When you change diapers, man, that's ministry. You're like, Jesus. Oh, whew. Right? Everybody's in ministry. So the question I had, and this got into my spirit this morning, because we know this church, it's got to multiply, right? First of all, everything God does is supposed to grow and multiply. Healthy things multiply. One time I had some guy be like, well, cancer multiplies. I'm like, bro, you're cancer. Get out of here, right? You can always find an expression, right? So here's the thing. You can die if you drink too much water, right? That doesn't mean you don't want to drink water. You could also die from not drinking water, right? There are things that if they're taken to the extreme, they become unhealthy. What we're not talking about is that, right? But what we are saying is this, what God creates all around this planet, it's crazy, it just multiplies. It's the grass. When you plant grass seed in the yard, the grass grows, but then what happens is crazy. If you give it enough water and it gets the sunlight, that grass begins to spread. Just like we were talking about with Adam and Eve this morning, right? Scrape out and push the garden out, right? It just happens, you know? Like you go to in your backyard and there's birds everywhere. I don't know how they get that many birds. Why? Because they multiply, right? Everything multiplies. And what God wants to see in your life, if you're called into business, if you're called into ministry, if it's your family, if it's anything that God has his hands in, he wants to see it multiply. So I'm going to be talking about kingdom principles. And I really felt like tonight, I want to speak into how do we get to the next place. Right? How does this body here, how do we get to this next place? Right? Because I have news for you. I see the potential here. I see what you guys are carrying. I see how many people are like into the vision. You guys come to church like 8 days a week, man. Like you're in, bro. You're all in, right? And so the question is this, how does this amazing, thriving body, and it's so cool, isn't it? Isn't it cool to see? Like sometimes you have to step back to get perspective, but how do we take all the stuff God's doing here and push this garden out, right? Because there's a garden that's here, right? It's been tended. It's growing. There are things growing. There's fruit. It's bearing fruit. How do we multiply, right? And so it's funny. I felt like I had this book, and this is from Dr. Morocco, who's the senior founding, I would say, apostle. You can be loud, guys. It's okay, man. Have fun. You guys want to do whatever you want to do, right? You want color on the floor? No, I'm just kidding. Don't color on the floor. But, dude, we used to be so bad, man. So I grew up, I have three brothers. My parents were always in ministry, so they were always ministers. And for a while, my dad did business, and then he did the ministry as well. But I remember one time, so we were always at church. I'm talking like forever, like every night, every day. You know, I always joke, like sometimes we would like just drive past to be like, we missing anything? Anybody there? Hey, man, you getting a blessing, right? But I remember one time, let me see how to say this. Well, one of my brothers wrote, like, if you ever, you know the movie with Ralphie? When he goes, oh, fudge, right? He wrote fudge into the carpet at the church. I was cracking up, the pastor's kid, you know, and it was so amazing. And he's a pastor today now, too. So, you know, usually I got news for you. Like, if you have kids that are really bad, those are the ones that they probably have a lot of potential, right? Because they just got something special on them. But all that to say, don't draw on the carpet. But, you know, I felt in my spirit this morning that add a zero thing, man. That was the Holy Spirit. First of all, like, why would I want, let's talk about finances, right? The church never, we don't never like to talk about finances, but, like, I don't get paid by this church, so I'll talk about it, right? Because I don't have any, like, a reason, oh, he's trying to get money. No, I don't, right? Why would God want to add a zero to your check, right? Why would God want to add a zero to your tax return, what you make at the end of the year, right? Well, first of all, why wouldn't he, right? Somebody's going to get that money. Money's the same as everything else. There's not scarcity there. If God owns it all and he's the king and he can give to whoever he wants, why not get a little more, right? If you have a little more comfort, you can take care of your kids a little better. But here's the real goal. See, you're never supposed to give. Here's your cup, right? Say this is your cup. You're never supposed to have to give out of the bottle, out of the cup, right? This is supposed to be full. Everything inside of this is for you and your family. You're always supposed to have overflow. The other flip side of it is this, and this is where sometimes people get into trouble. You're not supposed to keep what overflows. See, the minute you start holding on to what overflows, that's when you cut off the flow. So you don't need to feel, like, sometimes God will ask you to give sacrificially. So I want you to hear me. That's throughout. Look at Abraham, right? Hey, bro, take Isaac on up to the mountain. By the way, Isaac wasn't like a little baby at that time. He was carrying the wood. Dude, talk about a bad deal, huh? Come on, boy, grab the wood. Let's go. Right? Whoa, what are we doing, Dad? You know, like he was a grown man. He was like a teenager at the time, you know? And Abraham was old. He probably could have beat Abe too, man. He could have been like, nah, I don't think so, bro. You get up on there, right? But God will sometimes ask you to give sacrificially, okay? But I want to say this. You don't ever need to feel compelled. God doesn't need your money. You understand that? He'll find a way. Like I said this morning, though, everything God wants to do on this earth, he gives, it will come from his hand through a man to you. And sometimes, out of your overflow, God's asking you to be that man that resources. Like, you ever grow up and hear all these stories of missionaries? And basically, you guys are missionaries. Let's call it what it is, right? And there's always these stories of, like, oh, we didn't have any dinner. And we sat down and we set the plates and we said, Lord, we thank you for this dinner. And then, sure enough, dinner comes. You ever heard those stories, right? Guess what? Somebody got to be the one bringing that food to the door. That's what God, see, that's the good stuff, man. When you start operating in a boldness of faith out of the overflow that God's blessed you with, because he can trust you, suddenly it comes more and more and more and more. And you keep going. And next thing you know, instead of feeding a family that you knocked on the door, you're feeding a community, right? See, that's what God wants to do with this add a zero thing. But so in my heart, it's like, how do we add a zero to everything? In other words, how do we make our lives abundant? How do we make our lives look like heaven? Right? Wouldn't it be weird if you were an ambassador of the United States? Say you went to the nation of Brazil, right? I don't know, just or what, Venezuela, right, bro? Is that what you said? Say you were an ambassador to Venezuela on behalf of the United States, and you're just at work one day, and then all of a sudden, the air conditioning kicks off, and you're like, I don't know, what's going on? Oh, we don't have enough money, so you know, we're gonna turn the AC off. Then they come in and they bring some dollies, they start wheeling the furniture out, right? Ah, sorry, man, we didn't pay the bills, right? See. No country is going to let their ambassador, the one who represents them to another country, live in squalor and poverty, right? Why? Because they represent the kingdom that they're from. See, as you, as an ambassador, when you shift from being a citizen of heaven, that's what happens when you accept Jesus in your heart, into being an ambassador, aka someone who pushes the kingdom out, that's when blessing starts to unlock. Do you understand that revelation? See, you can be a citizen and God will always supply your needs. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. That's Ephesians 4, right? You know what's better than Ephesians 4? Galatians 3. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or even imagine, To him be glory. Where's he glorified in, by the way? In the church. This is what I was talking about this morning. See, God's looking for glory. Let your good works shine before men that they would see your good deeds. They ain't going to praise you, man. They know you're not that cool. They're like, ah, I know Johnny, man. That's got to be God. I grew up with that guy, you know. That's God, right? They see your good works. Then they're like, God, don't tell me God ain't real. Look at that guy, right? That's the kingdom. See, this is what God wants to begin to unlock in us, guys. This realm, just like Pastor Brad was saying, this realm where you just know, oh, the worst thing just happened. I take you at your word. Come on. If you're like, dude, I can't. I know God too well. I already know I'm getting on the next plane and I'm getting a free upgrade, right? That's the heart of the Father. See, when you begin to operate as an ambassador, not just a citizen, if you're a citizen, you get your needs met. When you come as an ambassador, now you operate with the blessing. You're coming in abundance. There's a shift there in your life. By the way, you don't have to get there overnight. You just take a little baby step. There you go. God loves steps. He always says, hey, Abe, I want you to go to that place. Remember the place I was telling you about? Yeah, where is it, Lord? Just go. Take a step. We were talking about that, right? Get your CDL. There's a step. Now God can bless it. It's like the adding thing we talked about earlier, right? See, when you get addition, all these things are added to you. Now it can be multiplied. Until you take that step, you can't walk on water. So how do we add a zero in this house? That's kind of what's in my heart, right? And I want to break down some leadership stuff. By the way, if I say something, you're like, what? Just throw something out. I want this to be, I don't want you to feel like I'm just turning the fire hydrant on and blasting you with the word here, right? So, like, if you want me to unpack something, just say something, you know? But how do we add a zero in this group, right? Because what I believe is this. If we're going to plant campuses throughout this region, by the way, that's having dominion, right? Guess what? This many people can't do it, right? So the goal is this. Now, again, you have your dominion, your place of authority that God's called you to that you go. It's part of it could be your family. Part of it could be your relationships. Part of it is the profession or the career that God has placed you into, right? Some of you, by the way, are on multiple tracks. That's the way God had me going. I never understood why God had me in business. I know I'm supposed to be saying this for somebody. God had me in business, and I was like, I don't like business, Lord. What do you want me in this for? You know. But he was teaching me, like I talked about this morning, how to be a king. See, suddenly I was in front of, like, governmental authority. I was in front of, like, zoning boards and township administrators and mayors and, you know, all these things that had I only been in ministry, I would have never stepped into those realms. And suddenly I was in places of authority, not just as a visitor or a guest, but as one with authority. If you've ever been in a room, it's here, I'll tell you a little fun story, right? My brother, they bought this property. I don't think anybody from there watching on YouTube. They bought this property, right? And they wanted to put a church in this property. But the township, now this isn't even legal, actually, but they had zoned it so that a church wasn't allowed to be in this particular section of property, right? So this is the whole, the sons of men, you know, are shrewder than the children of the light, right? The sons of this age, they're more shrewd. But anyway, so I get with them, and I was like, no, we just have to come at this a different way. So I structured with the wisdom that God gave me through what, because I do like real estate stuff, right? So I structured with the wisdom how to take this presentation in a way that fit in the box they wanted it to fit in. And these people lost their minds. If you want to encounter territorial spirits, start pushing into stuff. That's how you know. Like I said, if it's unnatural, it's probably spiritual, right? Suddenly we come in, it's going to all be legit, it's going to all be above board, everything they want, every box is checked. Like even on the record, the solicitor, that's like the township's attorney, he's like, yeah, they meet every requirement. And they're like, well, how do we vote no? Like they're saying this on the record. And I'm like, listen, here's what happens though. See, you never know what territorial spirit you're encountering until you start stirring it up. See, when you start taking territory, that's the David and Goliath story, right? See, the reason David knew that I said this in December when I was here, that he had authority in that situation is because Goliath was in the land of Judah and he was of the tribe of Judah. So therefore, he owned that land and it was his authority to step in. Now, here's the other thing the enemy does. I'll unpack this story a little bit. You guys cool with this? We good? All right. So, like, here's the other thing he does. When the enemy knows that you got him beat, he will defy you. That's in the David and Goliath story, too. See, some of you have already gotten your victory. It could be over a health thing. It could be a business thing. It could be a relationship thing. You know you got your victory, but the breakthrough still wasn't there. In that situation, I'll tell you what's happening, is the enemy's defying you. And you know what David said? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God, right? That's when you got to get aggressive, man. And in church, we're just like, oh, I'll turn the other cheek. That's my Diary of a Wimpy Christian voice, right? I talked about this in December, too. Turn the other cheek wasn't about putting yourself under their submission. It was about they weren't allowed to slap you with the back of their hand or with the front of their hand because you were equal citizens. It was about saying, hey, I'm not beneath you, right? And so what happened is we started pushing back. And the township, I think, with the story with my brother, I think they thought we were just going to, like, go away. Oh, we're sorry. We love Jesus. We're sorry. We were like, nah, we're good. Let's lock and load. Right? Bring the attorney to the meeting. He's like, look, this is our right. This is this. This is that. See, that's having dominion. And you know what was wild, too? That was a really hard time. We ended up in the paper and all this stuff. It was like, oh, this, you know, bad guys. They're trying to bring the gospel to the world. You know, I don't know, whatever. We were like, guilty, right? And I'm like, dude, that's the if any of you are persecuted for my sake, woo, bingo, I got a bonus, Lord. You know what I mean? Like, when I get up there, I'm like, Jesus, you saw that, bro. I'm in the paper. It was so funny in my family, too. We would, like, send the screenshots of the paper. I was like, hey, Mom, we made the paper again, you know? But you know what happened, guys? Here's what happened. First of all, we came with wisdom from heaven to defeat the enemy, okay? So there's a strategy for every situation. I got another fun story I'll tell you about here in a second. There's a strategy for every situation when you begin to walk in this thing, right? We came with wisdom, and then we won because they knew we had the victory, right? And then they tried to defy. And then what we had to do is make up our minds. Are we going to dig in here and fight, or are we going to just walk away, right? Sometimes, guys, you got to man up. You got to put on the full armor of God. You know what it says in that passage, Ephesians 6? After you have done all this, stand. Sometimes you got to be like, we ain't going anywhere, bro. I'm here. And so we ended up, you know, again, we got in the paper, free press, right? No such thing as bad press, right? Anyway, we won. Now, how do we add a zero here? See, when you start pushing out, what's going to happen is this. You're going to stir up some territorial spirits. When you start growing, guess what? Sometimes the political spirit and the religious spirit always work together. See, there are certain spirits that work together in the church. Political and religious, they're like, love and marriage. You know, they're like, go together like a horse, right? That's what it is, right? You're going to see when you start pushing out and you start saying, we're going to grow, we're going to hit 1,000, we're going to plant 5 campuses, whatever this thing is, you're going to see that pushback that you never saw before. And it's like, why do people get so upset? You ever see people lose their mind about stuff they shouldn't lose their mind about, right? That's how you know, oh, this is spiritual, right? Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, principalities. However, that principality living in that flesh and blood. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, Jesus, right? So that's real, man. When people are losing their minds, like the abortion thing, people lose their minds about that. We want to kill babies, right? It's like, dude, there's nothing like, there's clearly a spirit going on here. The whole, like, kill Israel thing, how could you not see that and be like, oh, this is a spiritual issue, right? See, when people begin to manifest, then you're like, oh, by the way, what are we manifesting? That's a good question. Are we manifesting the kingdom? So I, again, I'm challenging you. If you want to grow, I'm putting this, I'm not saying this is the suddenly the vision of the house, okay? I'm just saying this is what's in my spirit. But if you want to grow and multiply, what does it look like? That's a real question I'm asking you to ponder as people who stood up and said, yeah, we feel called to minister. We feel called to help carry this load. See, in the story of Moses and Jethro, here's what happened. Moses was trying to do it all himself. That's not the way it's supposed to work. These guys aren't supposed to be doing it all. Jethro comes to him. By the way, that's such an epic name, right? For your father-in-law. Yeah, my father-in-law's name is Jethro, bro. Oh, man. Oof. Say no more, right? But anyway, he says, listen, here's what you need to do. This isn't good for the people. It's not good for you, right? I need you to look and see people who have capacity. See, that's what, when leaders are looking for you to step in and fill a role, you know what they're looking for? Faithfulness, teachability, and capacity. Are you faithful? Or are you just kind of here trying to get your thing? Are you teachable? Hey, I need to, we got to work on this, right? Will you put yourself under? By the way, authority only flows out of authority. If you're not under anyone's authority, you have no authority. That's just the way it works in the kingdom. See, the blessing flows when you place yourself under authority. Then that's when you begin. If you humble yourself, he'll lift you, right? So what's it look like? I think it looks like you got to get out of this building. I said this the last time I was here. I say that in the right way, right? I think this is a resource that becomes something a little different than it is right now. What does it look like for you to partner with the pastors and say, I'm going to commit to fasting and prayer that you would show us, Holy Spirit, the next step? What is the next step that you have for us? We know the property, but the property is probably one step, maybe even two steps past, right? What's the next step? Because we need to grow, right? Why? Because healthy things grow. Because Jesus died to bring heaven to earth, and he picked us to carry that message. Pretty crazy, right? So I just had a couple thoughts, guys, about, I'm going to skip some of this stuff, actually, because I've been rambling aimlessly about other cool stuff. For me personally, and I'm going to bring this into the idea of corporately here, okay? First of all, you have to know what you're called to, right? Like, if I come to, so Stephen, right? What's the call of God on your life, bro? I put you on the spot, sorry, man. I would agree. Were you standing up when I asked people to stand up? You were. All right, never mind. I was going to say, bro. But no, you're all good, bro. I agree with that. I see that on your life, okay? So, like, first of all, you have to know what you're called to, right? I'm called to this. Therefore, so what the Bible says is this, without vision, actually one of the versions says without a prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. See, if you know the vision that God's called you to, what happens then is you can begin to constrain yourself. Oh, I can't do that because this is the path that God has me on, right? So what happens is when you start to understand your call, then you say, well, this is the path I'm on, right? But corporately, when we understand what God's doing, suddenly we can get behind the vision, right? And so for me personally, like, I know I'm called to minister to the body and to equip the body to go out. Like I was saying in first service, like, it's the most random, bizarre thing that we have in American Christianity where the coach is supposed to be the all-star, right? That's never the way God intended it. The coach is supposed to be the coach, and he's supposed to be a good coach, and he's supposed to win Super Bowls if you're, let's just say, talk about football, right? But the quarterback, the running back, the tight end, all those guys are supposed to be the rock stars. They're supposed to be the Pro Bowlers, the stars, right? That's what we're called to here. See, when you're a part of this body, this ecclesia, your job is to know your calling and be amazing at it, right? And so for me, I know that I'm going to share, like, because I think this will unpack a little bit, like, when it comes to ministering to individuals in the body, and this is a part of creating culture. I want you to hear this. The reason I'm speaking this is because this is a part of what I think as a body is part of the next step, okay? One thing I'm called to in the church is to awaken people to their identity. Who are you? Right? You have to know who you are. You're a child of God, right? You're under the covenant, you're blood bought, all these things, right? Because a lot of times people don't understand who they are, right? The second thing that God called me to is to activate people into their destiny. Right? So you see how it's kind of getting specific now? These are the things, right? And then inside of those lines, I can do whatever I want. I can play in the sandbox, right? So if you start to say, well, this is what God's put in my heart. I want to do X and I want to do Y. That's like when God comes to Moses and he says, I'm going to give you this land from here over to here. It goes up to here. It goes down to here. All that I've given to you. He says it to Abraham. Why? Because God's a territorial spirit. Think about it. He's always like, this is your territory. This is what I gave to you. This is what I'm calling you to, right? And this is to the corporate body, and this is where I want to unpack a little bit for this house, right? So I know I'm laying heavy stuff on you guys, right? But I want you to get the impartation, right? Because ultimately, I feel like this is a little bit of a roadmap for where you're going to be heading, right? But number one, for me, and I believe this is a mandate for the church, okay? Bring heaven to earth. So what's that look like? To me, bring heaven to earth is what we do on Sunday mornings, right? So we come in, we're ministering to the Lord, right? We minister to each other, right? That's bringing heaven to earth. Inside of that box of bring heaven to earth, okay? So Kings, West Virginia, right? I guess Kentucky too, right? Kings East Coast, Kings International, right? What does it look like for you to step into bringing heaven to earth, right? And inside of that bring heaven to earth box is this. That is the identity piece that I spoke about a minute ago, right? So how do we disciple people? See, what discipleship is this. It's making people look like Jesus. If we're honest, that's a pretty big task, right? But that's the goal. So when we come here, our job is we want to bring heaven to earth and we want to make people look like Jesus, right? Now, the second step is this. And if we're being honest, most churches don't get to this. But apostolic culture has to get here. If you just want to be normal church, American Christianity, you know, like we don't believe in all that stuff anymore. We're just here for a good moral code, right? That's cool. You don't need anything beyond the whole like first piece. But the second piece is, this is where it starts to get fun. So bring heaven to earth, number two. This is part of scrape out, transform culture. Most churches never get healthy enough to shift into this mandate. See, most of the time in church, we have a hard enough time making people look like Jesus. That's the bring heaven to earth part. Apostolic culture, though, I want to challenge you guys. There's a mandate, just like we talked about. It's the dominion mandate. So what happens in apostolic culture is this, transform culture. What transform culture looks like is this. You, again, are awakened to your destiny, right? Hey, this is what God called me to, right? So discipleship is me making a disciple, helping make you look like Jesus. But mentorship is when I say, hey, this is the gift I see on your life. And I want to help take this to the maximum. I want to turn it up to 11, right? I see this on you. I see this gift cluster, right? So that is transform culture. Because when you have your calling in the marketplace and you go and you say, hey, I'm called to be a business owner. I'm called to create wealth for the kingdom. I'm called to be on a school board so that I can, again, legislate, right? So suddenly, instead of us just being cloistered in an environment where we're hidden behind the walls of the church, praising the Lord, having a good time, right? Suddenly we're like, nah, we're not satisfied with that anymore. We're not going to just sit here and be quiet, be good little Christians, right? No, we have an agenda. It's the king's domain that we're going to push, right? And so that's where you start to see ministries pop up that are about setting people free, right? Ministries pop up that are about transforming culture, So this is the next shift that I really, I'm speaking to you apostolically tonight, that like I know you're growing into, right? So this is down the road, but this is a part of this DNA. If you don't have this book, you should get it, by the way. I felt like I should bring this. It's kind of funny, but this, it's like the roadmap, right? The multiplying church. This is what you're a part of. This is a part of your tribe, right? Now here's the third thought. And again, this is the piece that I know the church has let go of, but it's so important. Create generational wealth. Again, I said it this morning, without that overflow in your life, you don't have the ability to be a blessing. Without that ability, the church is going to be limited. So the reason that God wants to raise up a generation of kingdom entrepreneurs who can go out and create wealth is because ultimately it takes resource, right? I have in here, you cannot be the source without resource. By the way, have you ever thought about those words? See, God is the source and he resources you. And your job is to receive, right? He already has in his heart all the things that he wants to give to you. All you have to say is, yeah, Lord, I'm into that. I take you at your word, right? So what's God wanting to do here, right? Looking into the future. This is what I want to challenge you guys, right? What if you start to dream with your pastors? And again, like, even if you feel something prophetically, you bring it to them. This is biblical. And you say, hey, this is what I feel. And they'll say, oh, yeah, we think that's right. Or, hey, we're going left instead of right, you know. But what I want to challenge you, begin to see yourself as a steward of what's happening here, right? Because when you begin to take ownership, right, when you begin to step in and instead of just showing up and, oh, yeah, this is great, yeah, but suddenly you're carrying the load, right? I know some of you are already doing this, but this house, for it to grow, for it to multiply, we need three people in every position. It's not there, right? There got to be three people that can play the piano. There got to be three people that can play the drums. There need to be three people that are out there serving people to help get them where they need to be. There need to be three people running the camera, right? All these things, everything that happens in this body needs the depth. Why? Because then it can be released to multiply, right? If you have two and then you release one, then you're back to just one. See, the goal is you got to get three deep. So some of you, we were talking earlier. I was like, bro, start playing the guitar, man. You need a guitar player. I mean, you were playing tonight. That was awesome, right? We need three of you. Because then you're going to go somewhere else and play guitar, right? That's the vision of the house, right? So, thoughts, questions. Again, I keep trying to ask for if anybody has questions. You don't have to ask questions, but. What's God want to do? What if we start to dream? What does it look like for this region for us to transform culture? What does it look like for this region for us to say we're bringing heaven to earth? Right? We talked about that. That's the dominion mandate. It's heavy stuff, I know. It's not just, oh, I went to church this Sunday. It was great. Had a great message. Right? No, it's like, man, I have the responsibility. God doesn't have a backup plan, by the way. He's not like, don't worry, I got a bunch of angels on the side. You guys fumble. No, he's like, you're it. I have that much confidence in you. You know, what if God says, if is saying this over you? Hey, I take you at your word. You ever think about that? That's what he's saying. Hey, I take you at your word. If you said it, I believe it. That's how much faith God has in us. And he's like, I know if he could pick 12 untrained, unsupervised, rowdy fishermen. And they were like, listen, man, those guys who wrecked this whole place, who turned the world upside down, they're here now. That's in the book of Acts. What can he do through us? What can he do through you? See, this is that kings and priests thing, guys. God wants to put it into your spirit. He wants to begin to raise up an army that can transform culture, right? And again, we don't like talking about it in church, but it does take wealth. Part of what I try to teach kingdom business people is how to create generational wealth. Because every church plant, in my opinion, and again, I'm speaking to leaders as a leader, every church plant needs to be sustainable. The way it's sustainable is if you already have businesses and resources that are established that can sustain. So that's a part of the kingdom piece too, right? Why don't you, let's see. Yeah, I think that's all right. Why don't you guys stand up? We'll do a little bit of impartation and activation. Yeah, you can come up, bro. Yeah, we got to get three of you, bro. You're working hard, my man. This finger's got to be raw. Yeah, man. It sounds like a whole band when he plays, doesn't it? I'm telling you, man, I've been in church my whole life. I'm like, where's the rest of the band? It's like, I don't know, you got extra fingers in there? The anointing. One finger. He's like Goliath. He's got six fingers, right, on each hand, right? God is so amazing, guys. Like, it blows my mind that he invites us in. See, I talked about it this morning. It's like the heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth, he's entrusted to us. And then we fumbled, right? And then Jesus is like, all right, I'll get down there, Lord, right? Can you imagine the conversation in heaven, by the way? It's before the foundations of the earth. Think about how crazy God is. So he's like, listen, here's what's going to... He says it in the Bible, too. When he's talking to Moses, he's like, look, man, I'm going to bless these guys. I'm going to take them into the promised land. But then they're going to fumble, and they're going to be out, right? See, God, before he even made the earth, he's up there in heaven, and he says, hey, in the beginning was the Word, right? Jesus, look, here's what's going to happen. We're going to make these people. We're going to make them in our image. By the way, you understand the reason that identity is so important is because of image. See, every other creature in the beginning, in Genesis, reproduces according to its own kind. You don't. You reproduce according to his. If that doesn't blow your mind, like when you have a child, God literally gave you the ability to create an eternal being. How is that not the power of God? Think about that, man. It's mind-blowing. God's like, oh yeah, I like this. I'll give you the same power I have. You can literally create eternal life. We don't like that. We're like, oh, that's a stretch, Johnny. Every person here, we know, right? When we accept Jesus, it unlocks that eternal life, right? But so, every one of us, we're here at this exact moment in time. Like, I always think it'd be cool to be born in, like, the 1700s, like, the American Revolution time, you know? Till then, I watched, like, a documentary about how they didn't even know how to wash their hands. I'm like, nah, we're cool, man. I'll take the iPhone. Thanks, Lord. You know what I mean? But, like, God put you here for such a time as this. He could have put you anywhere else. Some of you ended up here. I'm like, man, that's crazy, man. Leaving Hawaii? Come on. Not, like... double portion, Lord. They love Jesus, right? But like, look, you're here. You're here for a reason. You're here on purpose, right? And here's the thing. What is the adventure he's calling you into? Because so many times, guys, we sit in the church, in the pew, week after week after week after week after week after week, and we're asking God, hey, Lord, would you do it? Would you do it? Would you do it? And he's like, bro, I already did it, man. Like, I've been praying in my own life. I'm like, because I know that everything Jesus paid for is there. And here's what I've been praying. That was a good burp, buddy. Here's what I've been praying. Lord, how do I access everything that you paid for me? Right? Because sometimes I feel, if I'm being honest, like I'm fumbling around in the dark, reaching for the light switch, right? And then my kids got something right. Oh, you stupid kids, right? I feel like I'm reaching around and I'm like, Lord, I know that you did this. How do I access it? And then sometimes I'm saying, Lord, I think you released this to me, but someone is defying you. That's how do I apprehend? Hey, this is mine. God gave it to me, but there's something in between me and his goodness. See, like if you feel like you can't break through tonight, and I think that's part of what we'll pray into. If you feel like you have a promise, right, from a good father who wants to give that promise to you, but you can't get the breakthrough there, there's something between you and him. It's not you're broken and it's not he's broken. It's there's something in between, and we're going to break that block. That's the power of breakthrough, right? Once I learn how to access, by the way, it's so hard because you know how you fumble in the dark? It's by faith. That's the tricky part. Everything in the kingdom, without faith, you can't even please God. Everything in the kingdom happens by faith. So when you realize it, you're like, Lord, I know you call me to this, and this is a desire of my heart. So what do? Like Abraham, I receive it in faith. It says, after he patiently endured. You better just get ready to be patient and endure, right? He obtained the promise. And in that act, guys, where we're like, I believe what you said. I believe the desire in my heart. I believe this dream that you put into me, Lord. And then suddenly you begin to use that. This is 1 Timothy 1:18. You're like, Lord, this is what you said. You promised this to me. I'm going to take this. This is a weapon. I'm going to use your words as a war. See, God loves when you take his word and you use it for your advantage. He esteems it above everything else. So part of your job is to get in here and find your promises. Because once you learn to access, once you learn to apprehend, right, then you can appropriate. That's when you're like, you become like God. It's crazy, but that's the goal, by the way. Jesus is the light of the world. You're the light of the world. Jesus is the living water. You're the living water, right? Jesus says, my words are spirit and life. Your words are spirit and life. That's why the God who calls those things that are not as though they are and calls dead things back to life, that's what you're supposed to do. That's Hebrews 11. That's Romans 4 and Hebrews 11. See, we're growing up into the image of Jesus. So here's what I want to do. If you have a dream, a destiny, a desire of your heart that you've been contending for, maybe just like Abraham, that you haven't been able to get breakthrough for, would you come down to the front? I feel like we're going to go after that first. Well, there you go. I guess Holy Spirit's up to something, huh? They don't call him Jehovah Sneaky for nothing. I'm going to release a corporate prayer, and then we'll do some prayer, and whoever else you feel to pray. Father, I just thank you. You see the desire of our hearts. Lord, I see your people here, and Lord, as much as it grieves me that I see this many people who love you with all their heart. They're crazy enough to be here on a Sunday night. Come on, man. How do you get any more faith than that, right? You only need that little bit, that mustard seed. See, so many times we let the enemy say, oh, you don't have enough faith. That's a lie. I break that off in the name of Jesus. You had the faith to take a step. That's all you need. But it grieves my heart, Lord, to see your body come here with an expectation, Lord, and to know that there's something between them and your goodness. So, Father, right now, Lord, with the authority you've given me, Father, Lord, whatever's between them and your promise, Lord, I break it in the name of Jesus. Lord, if it's a sin, I break it. If it's rebellion, I break it. But Father, if it's something that the enemy is holding back, Lord, we break it in the name of Jesus. Lord, we come into agreement. Come on, begin to pray with me. Agree in prayer. Lord, we put your hand on your neighbor's shoulder. Come on, there's a power. Let whatever you release, it will come back to you, pressed down, shaken together. Lord, we just release breakthrough over our neighbors this morning, Father, or this evening. Lord, we release breakthrough, Father. Every prophetic word of destiny, Lord, I loose in the name of Jesus. Father, I just loose in the name of Jesus, Lord. If there are things that have been held back, Lord, promises, Lord, financial breakthroughs that have been held back, Lord, we release them in the name of Jesus, Father. Lord, destiny in the name of Jesus, we release over your body. Lord, we come into agreement. We come, you said, if two or more agree on anything in my name, whatever we ask, you would do, Lord. So we just loose in the name of Jesus, destiny. We loose desires, Lord. I thank you that a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. I thank you, Lord. Lord, we just say, hope does not disappoint, Father. I just speak over your people, fresh hope. Hope does not disappoint. Father, I speak fresh faith over your people in the name of Jesus, Lord, that they would reach out and in faith apprehend the promise.
Lord, you reign in victory, Jehovah Shai.